This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 139. We are continuing the Superman franchise watch through. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, guys. So we made it all the way up to now the Zack Snyder universe with Man of Steel from 2013. Nate, how long has it been since you've seen this film?
Not that long. I actually watched it when I got the 4K, maybe like a year and a half ago or so. Yeah. So I did rewatch it this past Sunday just for this, but it hasn't been too long since. And I saw it like three or four times at the theater as well.
Okay. I've seen this once in the theater, then on Blu-ray, I got the 3D version, and then I got the Blu-ray. Then the 4K, when the 4K was released, I got that. And then the version that I watched was the trilogy pack that comes with Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, the new one with the IMAX in it. And then, of course, the new Justice League, Zack Snyder, Justice League, all nice and wrapped. So I opened it up, watched that version of the movie. So I can't wait to sit down and talk this, because this was an actual awesome watch. But before we do, we're going to get into some box office numbers, into some Rotten Tomatoes scores, then right into our movie reviews. So let's start off with some box office numbers of the Man of Steel from 2013. Oh, baby. Now, I would like to say this, okay? Because a lot of people say that this movie was a failure. I'm going to hit you with some numbers here, okay, Nate? And you tell me, okay? Okay. Here we go. Domestic, $291 million.
Okay.
International, $377 million.
Over 600.
For a worldwide total of $668 million on a budget of $225 million.
I mean, even with marketing, let's throw marketing in. Let's just say they did $100 million on marketing. Yeah. It's a budget of $300. I mean, they still doubled up. They doubled up. Yeah. So clearly it's not a, you would not call a double up a failure. Was it friggin' a $1 billion movie? No. But is that a failure also? The answer is no.
Yeah, but it's just weird, right? Because when you go into a conversation with somebody, they always go, but those are failures, because everyone's comparing the box office $1 billion marks to the, you know, to the Avenger movies.
Well, I mean, comparing them to those. So what, you know, Thor, The Dark World, that movie came out in the same year. Okay. Right. 2013 for a comparison. And the box office was $644 million. So it was on par. It didn't make what Iron Man 3 made. But it was on par with a MCU movie. And at this point, the MCU was already 6-7 movies in. And this was the first of this. So, no, it's definitely not a failure. But no, I know what you're saying. I remember that.
Yeah, people just keep comparing it. But we're going to talk about the next movie, because that one is like the catapult of box office to everybody. But in terms of Man of Steel, to me, it's an actual great start to the Henry Cavill as Superman with the box office numbers. Now, let's check out what the critics and the audience have to say about this film.
Okay, so I do know this much. I do know with a good fair amount of the DCU films, the critics were not overly kind. We'll put it that way. This is not any different. I mean, it's not horrible. It only has a 56% on Rotten Tomatoes from critics. But audiences enjoyed it. It has a 75% audience score. So, you know, a 20% gap roughly. I won't say over the moon with it.
Well, I mean, I kind of figured, right? We're gonna break it down, because certain risk that Zack Snyder took, I guess it rubbed people the wrong way. But we're going to talk about those once we start breaking down these categories for you guys. So with that said, Nate always starts off with the lead character, Henry Cavill, for the first time donning the Superman suit from Brandon Roth, Clark, and Superman.
Okay, so this is the, sixth Superman movie we're reviewing, the third different actor to play him. Look, I think Henry Cavill is a great Superman. I think he's jacked, he's big, he's more modern take on him, you know, not the classic take. He looks more like a comic book character, right? Like Superman is drawn as very muscly and six pack and all that kind of stuff. And that's how Henry Cavill looks. As Superman, I thought he was fantastic. He is calm, you know, like the scene with the military, very just talks with them, whatever, calm, cool, and collected for the most part. Now, as Clark, not amazing. But to be fair, rewatching it, it kind of in a way reminded me of the new Batman film, in that there's not a lot of Clark Kent scenes. You know what I mean? Like, he's like on the boat. It's flashes, But he's never referred to it. They call him something else. I think they call him like Greenhorn or something like that.
One was Joe.
Greenhorn is when he's on the boat. Yeah. And then later he's like, you know, in walking around Alaska and he's working at a bar. Like, there's not a lot of Clark. Now, there is a lot of flashbacks. But even then, it's a kid, teenager. You know, you have the one scene with him and Kevin Costner in the car. And he was really good in that scene. I thought he was good. You get a good idea of their, you know, their relationship. So he's okay, Clark Kent, but he's not Clark Kent in this movie very much. He's essentially Superman for most of it. Yeah, I gave him a 4. I gave him a 4. I thought he was a really good Superman. Not enough Clark in there, but and that may be a trend going forward. We'll see. But yeah, I gave him a 4.
Yeah, so, you know, it's kind of funny because it's funny that you said the Batman, because I wrote my letterbox review for this. That's what I put. I was like, this is a split image of watching the Batman, just with more action, way more action than what the Batman was, right? And in terms of Henry Cavill, I agree with you. I thought he was bland and boring. I didn't see that Clark Kent. I mean, again, you didn't see much. You saw him when he comes back. He's with his mom, Diana Lane, and that chemistry is pretty cool. But again, it's not as much because when General Zod comes out, he switches to Superman. So there's not much there for you to even give an evaluation to. So for me, it's mostly Superman. And it says Superman, he's really good. The only thing is that, with Zack Snyder, he has this way of filming that it's a very graphic novel. He has not that much emotion. Like, he's not the happy, you know, Superman, because this is the first time he's donning the Superman suit in this film. So he does not know how to fight. Let's be honest. He just knows how to throw punches because he's so powerful.
Yeah.
He could just punch somebody. So he's not a warrior. He's not a big athlete type fighter, MMA fighter. So it was very hard for me to do Superman because he's just like Batman, right? They were year two type. If you really think about it, he learned how to fly when he's in his adulthood. And then he learns how to, I mean, General Zod comes, so he starts to fight them. So that's the first time. So again, it was hard. I gave it a 4.5. I think the Superman part for me was way better than Clark. Because even at the end when he puts on the glasses, I was just like, I don't get the connection with Clark. I don't. I mean, we're in lead character. I'll just say quick. As with Amy Adams, I thought she was a really good, way better than Kate Bosworth. As Lois Lane, Kevin Costner, Diana Lane. Okay, they were great.
They were great. Yeah, I thought they were great.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. So
I liked all the cast too. I liked Lawrence Fishburne as Perry White. Yeah, yeah, I thought he was really good.
He comes in the Batman v Superman.
That's okay. But I liked Amy Adams. I liked her portrayal. Lois Lane is a little more. She's not as goofy and weird. You know what I mean? She's not as quirky. She's a little stronger.
She's character. Still missed spelling.
Yes, but she didn't order a hot dog and orange juice.
No, you're right. Yeah. But yeah, okay, so I gave it a 4.5. You gave it a straight down the line 4. Mm-hmm. General Zod, main villain.
Oh, baby. All right, now, this General Zod is way better than the Terrence Stamp General Zod. I don't care. All Terrence Stamp did was walk around, say his name, and tell people to bow. That's all he did for the entire movie. Michael Shannon is, and Terrence Stamp is a good actor, don't get me wrong. But Michael Shannon's a great actor as well. But man, give him some lines, you know? He has way more to talk about and do than the original incarnation of General Zod. He's kind of a beast with fighting, you know what I mean? I like it. There's a couple things if I'm going to nitpick, I didn't like how, and this happened in the old one too, but I don't like how Clark Kent had to take 30 years to learn his powers and General Zod. And this is the second time this happened in Superman 2. He learns everything in like 5 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I have laser. He gets crazy. He got laser eyes. And then he knows how to do laser eyes. And then he, you know, so minor gripe, but I get it for otherwise the movie will have to be 6 hours long to show him also learning everything. Yeah. But even in the opening scene, he's great when they're trying to take over in a Krypton and all that. I love him. I love when he screams, "I will find him." It's great.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. I love his speech at the end where he's like, "You took. I have no people. Like, my only purpose was for the people, and now I have no people. And now I'm freaking. I hate your guts." Pretty much. I love it. I give him a 5. This is a comic book villain that the hero of the movie really has to step up to stop at all. and I loved him. And shout out to his henchmen. They were useful. Both, I mean, the tall one was a little less, but the girl, she was very useful. Very well done. If I'm going to put him as a trio, I'm going to give it a 5 as well. But just him, a 5 for me.
Look, I agree. I gave General Zod a 5. I mean, the acting ability of, and again, Tara Stamm came from a different era of acting in movie, right?
Yeah.
But in this generation, and the way they wrote the character, I wish they never killed him. I'm going to be really honest with you. I mean, I know they had to. I mean, they didn't have to. They could just throw him in the Phantom Zone and he would have just came back. Yeah. But they decided to. There's a message in that. And then we'll talk about that during the storyline. But let me just tell you, my man raised havoc. And I agree with you. He wasn't running around doing the whole, I am General Zod. Kneel before Zod, right? Like, he didn't even tell him to kneel. I don't even think he told him to kneel.
No, he didn't want to take over humans. He wanted to kill them. He didn't care if they bowed or not. So no, he's totally different.
Yeah, so I liked him because he was very menacing. And the thing is like, I love the fact that how he tries to mind screw Superman, right? Clark, whatever, Kal-El. And he did it in a way that was genius. I worked with your father, you know, and he goes, you know, we are people. He's talking to him nice. And he goes, where's the codex? And, you know, whatever. And Clark is like, I'm not falling for this shit. He goes, I am not. You know, I'm dumb, but
well,
I ain't.
What are you going to do? It's got to be built on something. And he's all of a sudden standing on a million skulls.
Yeah. Great. And that was a pretty cool premonition. Like, that he could go through minds, which was weird. And the ship had this mind holodeck type thing, which I was like, okay, that's actually pretty cool. And again, another shot that Zack Snyder did that made it look very graphic novel, that scene, him getting pulled through all the millions of Earth people and General Zod is ruling, and a foreshadow of that machine going boom.
Yep.
Right? So you
the
got
world
to see
engine.
The world engine. Yeah. So you got to foreshadow to see that come to life. So General Zod, oh man, that fight between him, I loved it. I thought it was very good. And I loved the scenes that sets up Batman v Superman, because you see it unfold before you catch the second movie. So I thought that was pretty cool. Their henchmen, I thought one, she was gorgeous. She was good. She had some beautiful blue eyes. Yep. And then second, she was very good. And I love the whole line that General Zod said. He goes, you know, we are warriors and you're just a kid from a farm. He's just whooping them all over the place. So I thought that was a pretty good line. So anyway, I gave him a 5. You gave him a 5. Yeah. Action scenes.
Oh, another one. Listen, if there's two things that this movie does extremely well, it's villain and it's action. Now, I remember when this came out, I specifically remember, like I said, I saw it a couple times. A lot of people complaining, people in general, people online, people that I knew. Well, there's too much destruction. They're blowing. Too many people are dying. You know, Superman would stop this from people from dying. Well, how? How exactly? Because you got people who are as powerful as him and more skilled at as far as war is concerned. A freaking a robot engine on the Indian Ocean on the other side of the Earth. Then you got this one over here in Metropolis. And it's like there's no way he could have stopped everything from happening. And if he did, you don't have a movie. You don't have an exciting kind of finale, in my opinion. So I don't care about that. That my point being, the destruction level never bothered me. I'm for it. Blow everything up. I don't care. Second of all, the opening on Krypton alone is better than any action scene in any of the Superman movies before this. Just the first like 15, 20 minutes.
Right.
It looks awesome. I love the crazy zooms that Zack Snyder does when it's like a wide shot when he's flying, and then all of a sudden it zooms up on that like freaking Avatar bird thing that he's flying on. The explosions look amazing. This looks great in 4K too, by the way. Little side note. But
yeah, it does.
Just that alone is better action than all the other Superman movies. Okay. Now, after that though, the fight in IHOP with him and a chick, love it. He tries to fly and she just grabs his cape and like slams him on the floor. Love it. I like the Smallville fight. It's cool, but the last fight with him and Zod, awesome. Even when he's trying to fight against the big machine and he has to like fly up through it and the little crazy ball things are chasing him all around. And it's an action extravaganza. The last 40 minutes is literally a gigantic action scene, essentially. So I give it a 5.
Yeah, look, I agree with you. Everything you said was like so spot on. I'll just like to add that I agree with you. That is the biggest complaint that's happening right now, even when you talk to people, is the destruction, you know, never happened. And it's like, first of all, Let's get this going here.
Yeah.
This is a reimagined of what Superman is in a real world situation. So yeah. This is not based off comic books that I know of. This was just straight up. And that's the thing. Like, people never understand the fact that when you see anything go on screen, this is an interpretation of the director and the writer. This is right. Not no comic book. It's a
different medium.
Yeah. So a lot of people are basing a lot of these movies off of source material, which, yeah, you could take. You could take a storyline from a comic, but does not mean it's going to be 100% what you read as in a childhood. It's going to be on screen. Maybe it's going to be, instead of 100%, it might be close to 60-40 on screen, right? Like, yeah. Or 50-50 or, you know. So when it came to Superman and I saw this in the theater, I was like, holy hell, they went there, right? Like, I was just like, I'd never seen a destruction like this on screen with Superman. You're like, holy moly. But then I was like, you know what? I came out the theater like everybody else. Everybody was seeing it. Oh, man, why would Superman let, you know, General Zod destroy Metropolis? This was a disaster. Where are they going to build and all this baloney? And I'm like, whoa, people, he ain't Superman. He has the suit for the first time. Like, this is like the third week he met his father. He yeah. puts on the suit and all of a sudden he's fighting like three warriors from his damn planet that knew how to use the powers, which I was like, it is what it is, but they're warriors.
And they knew how to fight.
They knew how to fight. Yeah. Yeah. And he has to like trick them somehow and have Lois for something. That's my only nitpick, is the Lois situation. Like, she knew he was Superman and how, like, you know what I mean? Like, that was so, but I understand why they did it for this story. But the action sequences, look, I don't give a cry anyone says, and I'm starting to get to that point now. Like, I don't care what anyone says with this whole, same thing with Batman. Batman don't kill. Who gives a crap? Like, you never wrote these scripts. I don't care how close it is to the source material. As long as it's good and great, tells a compelling story. This is what Man of Steel did. It gave you great action for the time length that we had. We had it from the beginning. That scene in Krypton is one of the best opening sequences in a Superman movie I think I've seen. All right.
It's the best one. Remember the Krypton in the old movie?
Yeah.
Where it just looks like where they're wearing the tinfoil shirts and everybody's like just slowly talking to each other and it's nowhere near as good.
No, it's not. And I think Russell Crowe is what delivered the beginning. And I think that's what it is. Zack Snyder did a genius thing. He casted an Oscar award winner. I mean, well, Michael Shannon is also, but he hired two Oscar award winners to play the good guy and the bad guy. Like, think about that. And what you got from those action sequences is exactly that. I love, 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 love that scene where he's like talking. He got captured, Jor-El, and his wife was like, you know, they shoot his way out and you see that machine telling him which way to go. And I loved it. I was like, oh my God, this is pure genius. The fight scenes and IHOP, all that stuff. You've seen stuff that you never seen on screen before. Superman getting stopped midair, slamming on the floor. I mean, from the point of view of Superman flying for the first time and he's going through all this, it looked like a 4D roller coaster come to life. Yeah. And I was like, this is crazy. You never saw Mach 4. Like, I never saw Mach 4. I'm never going to see Mach 4. But you saw when you go, boom, and he's flying, and he's like, boom, boom. I was like, yo. I was like, this is crazy good. So I gave it a 5. You gave it a 5. Storyline.
All right. So here's where there's no more 5s for me. So I'm just letting you know now. Now, I think the storyline's good. Don't get me wrong. But you touched on something that this is a very different take on the character, period, because the Lois Lane thing. So Lois Lane meets him as Superman, well, essentially finds out who Clark Kent is, but knows he has powers and everything. So she knows him as Superman and Clark Kent right away, initially, right? There is no confusion. There is no disguise. He doesn't put on glasses and she doesn't know it's him. And then she does know it's him. You know, like, she goes to Smallville. She finds out who his mom is. She finds out, like, she's a super duper reporter. You know what I mean? Did I love that? No, I didn't love that. You know, their love story, that's the one thing where I thought Margot Kidder and Christopher Reeve had really good chemistry. And I thought it was cute. I don't like the love story in this one. I don't get it. It seems kind of, it doesn't feel as good as she is, as you know, in the role. It doesn't feel genuine. Like, okay, he saved her life. Then she does like research on him. And what? Like, he just like falls madly in love with her right away. Like, it is kind of weird. So I didn't love that. I didn't love the difference in their dynamic. I appreciate the fact that they tried something different, but for me, I wasn't crazy about it. Other than that, I thought a couple of the other changes were pretty good. You know, the Fortress of Solitude is now just a ship. It's not a crystal fortress that's somewhere in like the Arctic. It's literally just a spaceship. They don't have the crystals. They have those little keys. So they changed some minor things here and there.
Well, for in that universe for now, we really don't know what it went.
Right, exactly. So, you know, as far as what they showed versus like the original Superman, it's different. You know, speaking to Jor-El rather than just being a big hologram, he's like a actual person that he could see and all this kind of stuff. I thought that was cool. I like the storyline as far as the you know, who Zod is truly, you know, try to overthrow the people in Krypton and all this kind of stuff. And then he gets sent to the Phantom Zone. And essentially, as soon as Krypton blows up, he's out. This one made more sense than the old one, where like a phantom rocket just hits the little glass and then they're freed. This one made more sense. You know what I mean? But I thought the storyline was good. It's a little bloated, a little too much. Some things take a little too long. But so overall, I give it a 4. I think it's good. I don't think it's like a perfect.
Okay, storyline. I agree with you 100%. The Lois Lane man and Clark Love or whatever, Superman, I didn't like it. It just felt so weird. And I remember sending you a screenshot because I didn't even know that was Superman picking her up from the helicopter. Yeah. And I was just like, okay, so this is the first time he meets her. He's carrying all her stuff into her whatever. And I was like, okay, it is what it is. I think he fell in love with her when he had to zap her with a ray to heal her when the alien smacked her in the face. I think that's when he really fell in love with her. But still, like, I wanted some, to be honest with you, I really wanted to see more dynamic between the characters. Like, her trying to figure out, like, if it was the whole movie her trying to figure out who Superman is, I would have said, okay, cool. Until it leads up to the whole night, the night I spent with Superman. Like, that would have been cool if they brought that back. I would have said, okay, that's actually pretty cool. And that's how he tells her all this. But to really be honest with you, I don't know. It felt like a graphic novel, that I will say. And I think that's why I like, actually, I'm not going to say like, I actually love the way Zack Snyder shoots. I think he's up there for me in terms of directors, because I love the way everything is just like a comic book, like just thrown right off the comic and right onto a screen, like in terms of graphic novels. Because this is a graphic novel, like a reiteration of Superman told. And I loved it. I thought it was really good. Fine. I didn't like the suit, the man, you know, the whole Lois and Superman. That was okay. Whatever. It is what it is. The General Zod situation was awesome between him. Jor-El whooped his ass from here to there, and this dude was a warrior. Never knew his father was that good of a fighter. He was just a scientist in the regular comics, I believe. Yeah. And in this movie, he made him into a scientist slash some type
martial
of fighter.
Artist, a boxer.
Yeah. And he beat the crap out of General Zod. And the only way Zod is because he saw his son leave for the final time, and he stabbed him in the opportunity he has. And he died before the planet exploded. So that's totally different from the other Superman movies. So I liked that. I thought that was pretty good. Now, his thing when he comes to Earth, I thought that was awesome. It was just like a horror movie. He was like, you are not alone. And you're like,
oh, with a camera. Yeah,
and I was like, yo, this is crazy. Because I thought Michael Jackson was going to come out. I'm like, you're not alone.
That would have happened with you. I would have turned the movie off.
I know you did. I know you would. If it would have did the bumblebee thing, you know, it goes. Yeah. I thought that would have been hilarious. But anyway. Yeah, everything that worked for me. Now, what a lot of people say and do is it drives me nuts. And before I will say this to end, it will be a lot of people do. Zack Snyder cannot write. He is horrible storyteller, right? Which I makes no sense. But I'm like, wait a minute. This movie story was by Christopher Nolan. Like, I don't get you people. Like, just because he directed it does not mean that the story was from him or he wrote it. He never touched nothing in this movie. It was not written by him. Story was not by Zack Snyder. All he did was direct a movie. And guess what? The one that everyone puts on the pedestal of the best comic book movie in The Dark Knight is the one that gave the story for Man of Steel. And that's why this movie in Dark Knight feels kind of the same. That whole world building.
Yeah. I mean, I know Nolan had story credit, I think, but script was like, what?
David Goyer. Yeah.
Someone else. I don't know. But either way, and I know Nolan was a producer on this. So, I mean, I agree. I tend to agree. I do think Snyder's a bad writer because Sucker Punch is not a well-written movie. I like the movie, but
I don't mean
a weak point. But,
I really don't mean that, though.
No, but what I mean is, you're right. I think people always say that, but it's not like he writes all his movies. He only wrote one. Yeah. So, you know, like, he's just a director, pretty much. Alfred Hitchcock didn't write any of his movies. He just directed them.
And I mean, that's the thing. I don't think people really understand the stages of filmmaking. I just think people just pick on the guy because he's a director, meaning that he does everything. It's like, wait a minute. I was like, this movie that people bitching and complain, he never wrote. He just directed, you know, story by
people still might not like the script, but that's it's not
his fault.
It's not Snyder's script.
Yeah. But I can't wait to go to the Batman v Superman. I can't wait to get there because that's the movie that a lot of people are that's very negativity. So that one I can't wait to depict for people. But anyway, I gave the storyline a 4. You gave it a 4. Yep. Let's go with overall.
All right. So overall for me, 4.5. 9 out of 10. I gave this a 9 out of 10. I've always kind of hovered in that. I'll be honest. Every time I rewatch this movie, I still really enjoy it every single time. There are some movies that over time I will either like more or like less. And then there's those ones like this where it's just like consistent every single time I watch it. I know what I'm getting and I enjoy it. One thing I want to touch on because we didn't touch on it much and then I'll pretty much wrap it up. Superman killing General Zod. Now, I know that was another point of contention with a lot of fans. Well, Superman doesn't kill people. Fair enough. But, you know, that... Jonathan Kent, you get like in childhood, he doesn't want him to fight. He doesn't want him to, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. And that makes sense because he probably will kill somebody if he's a kid and he doesn't know how strong he is and he uppercuts the kid, his head's going to fly off. You know what I mean? So that makes sense. His upbringing does add to that. But in that situation, that's the only thing he could think to do at that time. Like you said, not been Superman for 100 years, not fought 30 villains. You know what I mean? And General Zod literally told him, like, I'm not going to stop. I'm literally not going to stop. So, like, he can't throw him into space because he could fly right back into Earth. He's not that kind of, you know, villain that can't just come back. He was literally shooting the lasers at those. He's going to fry those people. He doesn't care. This is a good way to, in future installments, explain why Superman does not kill. Because he was so distraught after having to kill him. You know, he screamed. He lets out that scream. Like, he didn't want to do it, and he probably didn't like it. You know what I mean? But he also had no other choice. And now you have a character who has killed exactly one person, and not even a person, a being like him, killed one individual and doesn't want to have to do that again. And now it makes sense in future movies why he wouldn't do it. You know, that's my whole point with it. And again, I get it. Some people are super purist about it. I'm not a comic book purist because I don't read comic books. I know of comic books. I know storylines. I'm familiar, but I don't sit and read comic books. So I'm not a purist in that regard. I like a point you made earlier about adaptation, because when you transfer something to a different medium, you have to have some wiggle room and flexibility to be able to tell stories in a different way. So I liked it. I was fine with it. I thought it was good. And now if he doesn't kill again, I'd be like, well, now I know why. You know what I mean? He was pretty distraught about it. So a 4.5 for me. I think it's a really, really good movie. I think it's the best Superman movie as a whole, as far as entertainment. Do some of the older ones do certain things better? Sure. I think Christopher Reeve is a better overall Superman than Henry Cavill. Yes. But in as far as action, we are an action movie podcast. As far as action movies, this is by far the best one.
Yeah.
In that realm. And we didn't touch it. Oh, the music in this movie is so freaking good. Hans Zimmer's score is amazing. I watched this with a couple of friends who never had seen it. And literally they were like, this music is like epic. Like every time the drums kick in, every time. And so I love the score. I think it is up there. You know, John Williams is more iconic as far as the theme, but the whole total score of the movie, this is up there with any other superhero score. So 4.5 for me.
I agree in terms of the score. The score is really fantastic and it complements the movie very well. It makes the movie what it is, to be honest with you. I gave it also a 4.5. I think it's the best Superman movie in the modern age, is the best movie ever made. And I cannot see someone else topping this movie. Yeah. I'm going to be really honest with you. Unless they're going to do it like purebred comic book version of Superman. Because if, God forbid, he kills somebody, people are going to have a tantrum of, oh my God, he killed someone. And I agree with you. I think it's one of the stupidest things ever where people nitpick the crap out of DC and their code of, you know, they don't kill in this. And then the Avengers, almost every movie that you see, these dudes, Captain America's throwing a shield full speed on people's heads. And you think he's going to have a concussion. No, he's not. That dude is dead. Like, he's pretty much dead. And I don't think it's right, but again, it is what it is. People have their opinions, and it's fine. I'm okay with it. But and I told you this, and I say it again. I don't give a shit what the as long as the story is compelling and it makes sense why they're killing.
Yeah.
Then I'm okay with it. You're right. Superman killed one person, and who it was? It was General Zod. Why? Because he had to pick or choose between humans or Krypton, and he picked humans because he lived on Earth for 30-something years. I think he said 20-something years. 30.
He was 33.
Yeah, 33. So he was 33 years old in this movie, and I'm okay with it. I'm really okay because you know what? General Zod told him, the only way this will end is either you die or I die. And you know what? He died because Superman was like, you're not going to kill. I mean, they killed everybody. These buildings were collapsing on everybody. Like, what do you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
I don't get it. And I never understood the argument with that. Like, you got dudes that could fly. They could pick up tons of stuff. You think Superman's just going to take General Zod to outer space and then we're going to fight? No, he's a warrior. He knows his weakness is human. So he's going to fly all the way back down and destroy the crap out of any place, whether it's Metropolis, Gotham, Star City, Central City, you know what I mean? San Francisco, wherever the hell the movie takes place. And I agree. It's so stupid. It's like people just nitpick to nitpick, but I think, and I'm not calling people stupid. I'm just saying people nitpicking the nitpick.
Yeah.
I just think in terms of this universe that they're building, I think it was a fantastic way to kick off a real world Superman. I think it worked very well. I love the codes between the father, Jonathan Kent, telling him that, you know, you can't save people because if people find out who you are, they're going to take you away and do tests to you. You know,
he's like, hey, was I supposed to let those kids die on the bus? And he said, maybe.
Yeah, maybe, he's too quiet. Maybe yeah. And, you know, if it was a TV show version, he would have been like, Clark, you should have just did it faster and not get caught. knowing, you know, and my favorite scene of the film, regardless of all the fighting or whatever, I'll just say here before we end, is the scene that his father died. I mean, it's funny. You're like, why the hell? He could have just super sped so fast, grabbed his father, went into the tornado and saved him. But he didn't. His father knew that if his son would have saved him in that point, in front of everybody watching him, their life would have been upside down. And he sacrificed himself for his son. And remember, two scenes after that, he was like, you're not my father. So that's the last thing he told his father before he even passed away. So he's more pissed off. And that was for me, and that was a change also, because if we go by comic book, Jonathan caught a heart attack. Mm-hmm. He was like, bloop. And, you know, and that's how he died. But in this one, he went with the tornado. And I thought this was more effective, though. They had the argument, and then he died. It reminded me of Spider-Man. He argued with Ben, Uncle Ben, and what happened? He went to do what he had to do, let the bad guy go, and the bad guy shot his uncle. So it's kind of the same mirror image of those situations. So anyway, give it a 4.5. You give it a 4.5. Total points.
22.5 out of 25 for me. A great start to the DCEU. Does it continue on? We don't know. But was it a great start? In my opinion, it was. I thought it was a really good movie.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I gave this a 23 flat. I think this is the best Superman so far that we got on screen. Henry Cavill was great as Superman, but he was flat as a doornail in terms of Clark Kent. But I thought everything worked well. General Zod was the perfect way to start this movie. And I think the death actually worked in his favor in terms of killing him. So I thought everything worked so well in the package soundtrack. So great. But other than that, Nate, what's coming up next?
All right. So next up, we got continuing through the 70s, the decade of the 70s with Escape from Alcatraz, starring Clint Eastwood, as voted on by you guys. And then we will be wrapping up our Superman watcher. Finally, since we've been doing this beginning of February, I think the last one. Now, is it a pure Superman movie? Debatable. But Batman v Superman, we decided we're going to include it because his name is in the title of the film. And technically, the events of Man of Steel are what kick off this movie. So we're going to go ahead and review that movie as well. So those are the next two that you're going to be hearing coming down the pike.
Yeah, if you guys want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to YouTube. So it's youtube.com/ Ultra HD Geeks. That is our new name. We're switching out from Levels of Geeks is now Ultra HD Geeks on YouTube and also on Instagram. So go to Instagram.com/UltraHDGeeks and we're starting to put up photos there and start from scratch. But other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right. Be awesome to each other and geek out.